Amen. We're turning in God's word tonight to the book of Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah and the chapter number 9. Just a few books there before the Psalms. And it's Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse number 13. Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse number 13. Thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai, and spakest with them from heaven, and givest them right judgments, and true laws, good statutes and commandments, and madest known unto them thy holy Sabbath, and commandest them precepts, statutes, and laws, by the hand of Moses thy servant. And gavest them bread from heaven for their hunger, and broughtest forth water for them out of the rock for their thirst, and promisest them that they should go in to possess the land which thou hadst sworn to give them. But they and our fathers dealt proudly, and they hardened their necks, and hearkened not to thy commandments, and refused to obey. Neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and their rebellion, in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and forsookest them not. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the reading of thy precious and thy holy word. We rejoice it is the living word of the living God. And Lord, thou hast a message for us tonight. And we pray that this day we will hear thy voice afresh. O God, speak, we pray, with the voice that wakes the dead, and make the people hear. O Lord, find a resting place in the hearts of men and women, boys and girls tonight. And be glorified in the preaching of thy truth. Empty me of self and sin, I pray, and fill me with thy spirit. Give me help to deliver the word of God to the glory of thy name. For it's in that name we pray. Amen and amen. When we come to Nehemiah chapter 9, we come to a very special time in Israel's history. If you go to verse number 1 of Nehemiah chapter 9, it says, in the 20th and 4th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloths and earth upon them. And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law of the Lord their God, 1/4 part of the day, and another 1/4 part they confessed and worshipped the Lord their God. This is a time whenever the people have come back from captivity. They have known what it is to be in bondage. They have experienced the affliction upon them because of their sins. And now God has brought them back again into the land. And at this point, they have been moved to come aside with fasting and sackcloth. And we know that that's a visible sign of repentance and grief over sin. And the word of God tells us that they did something that's very, very important. It says in verse 2, they separated themselves from all strangers. They separated themselves. That was before they confessed their sin. Before they confessed their sin, they did what God had called them to do, to come out from among them and to be separate. So they were leaving the world behind. They weren't going to try and walk with a hand in the world and a hand in spiritual things, but they separated themselves and the people of God came together. And friend, that's what we do at the prayer meetings. That's what we do every time there's a prayer meeting. We separate ourselves from all the strangers. And by that word, we're talking about those who are unsaved. And we come together as the people of God. And how important it is for the Christian to do that. How important it is for the Christian to come to the prayer meeting and take a time at least once a week to separate yourself from the world and to come again with the people of God to hear a word that will encourage your soul and to pray that the Lord will bless you and this congregation, save your loved ones and revive our land. In the midst of this, they stood and they confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. There was confession of sin. Lord, we have sinned. Lord, we have sinned. I wonder when was the last time, dear believer, you've been honest before the Lord. Said, Lord, I've sinned. Lord, my life hasn't been right. Lord, today I've said things I shouldn't have said. I've been places I shouldn't have been. I've done things I shouldn't have done. I've thought on things I shouldn't have thought. I've heard things. I've seen things. I've participated in things that I should not have done. And Lord, I'm standing before you. And all my need is your child. And Lord, I'm confessing my sin. And Lord, I want your blessing. So I pray you'll cleanse me afresh in your precious blood. Give me clean hands and a pure heart. That's why the psalmist said, O Lord, search me. And know my heart. And not only do we see the confession of their sins and their iniquities of their fathers, we find them reading the Bible, and then we find them worshipping the Lord. You see the pattern. Things are falling into place. They're doing the right thing. They're obeying God. And what's going to be the result of a heart that is separated unto God? What's going to be the result of a heart that's confessed their sin? What's going to be the result of a heart that reads the Word of God? What's going to be the result of that heart? I'll tell you, it's worship. Worship. They're going to worship the Lord, and they're going to enjoy worshiping the Lord. And praise God for a worshiping people. Do you know that before the battles in the Old Testament, before the Israeli army went out to march to war, the very first people who marched before them were the singers. And what did they do? They sang songs of worship about how great our God is. And friend, that's what we need today. A praising church, a worshipping church, who sing about how great our God is. Great is thy faithfulness. How great thou art. Friend, we need to be singing and praising and reminding ourselves in these days and letting others know by the testimony of our singing who God truly is. Whenever we come to verse number 4, we read about the prayer of repentance. And there's a list of names given of the men who are leading the congregation. The Levites, and they were the priests of that day, those who served in the temple. And they led these prayers and they called the people to stand up and to bless the Lord. And from verse number 5, right on down, we have praise. Verses at the end of verse number 5, we've praise for how glorious God is. Verse number 6, thou even thou art God alone. Thou hast made the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth and all things that are within. Friend, they're giving God his rightful place. They're declaring him to be their creator. Verses 7 and 8, they talk about God choosing Abraham and making a covenant with him that his family and all the seeds of the earth shall be blessed. And then they praise God for delivering them from Egypt. And from verse number 9 right down to verse number 15, they talk about how God heard their cry by the Red Sea. Verse 9, verse 10 showed signs and wonders to Pharaoh and all his servants. And notice it says at the end of verse 10, and didst thou get thee a name as it is this day? Then verse 11, they made the sea divide before them. He led them by a cloudy pillar in verse number 12, and a night by a pillar of fire. Then he gave the law at Mount Sinai, and then he gave them bread from heaven, and he gave them water out of the rock, and he promised to give them prosperity and victory everywhere they went. And wouldn't you think such a people would be a pleased people, and such a people would be a thankful people, and they'd be a people who are going through with God, rejoicing in how great their God is. But we come to verse number 16, and it says, but they and our fathers dealt proudly, they hardened their necks, they hearken not to thy commandments, and they refused to obey. And what a sad statement it is to make about the children of Israel. But there seemed to be this cycle. And it continued throughout the history of the children of Israel in the Old Testament. Oh, they went on with God for a while, and then they fell away. And then the Lord had to punish them and chastise them. And then they repented and they came back. And for a generation or two, they went on with God. And then they fell away. And that cycle went over and over. I think 7 times in the Old Testament, we see that cycle repeated of obedience and failure. Obedience and failure. Obedience and failure. And what they do is they recognize the sins that they have committed, the sins that their fathers have committed. And they now cry on God to intervene. Lord, intervene in this day, in this generation. We need thee, Lord. And that cry for the Lord's intervention comes in verse number 32. Now, therefore, our God, the great, the mighty and the terrible, who keepest covenant and mercy, let not all the troubles seem little before thee, that have come upon us and our kings and our princes and our priests and on our prophets and on our fathers and all thy people since the time of the kings of Assyria unto this day. Howbeit thou art just in all that is brought upon us, for thou hast done right, but we have done wickedly. Neither have our kings, our princes, our priests and our fathers kept thy law, nor hearkened unto thy commandments and thy testimonies wherewith thou didst testify against them. For they have not served thee in their kingdom, and in the great goodness that thou gavest them, and in the large and fat land which thou gavest before them, neither turned they from their wicked works. Behold, we are thy servants this day, and for the land that thou gavest unto our fathers to eat the fruit thereof and the good thereof, behold, we are servants in it, and it yieldeth much increase unto the kings whom thou hast set over us, because of our sins. Also they have dominion over our bodies and over our cattle at their pleasure, and we are in great distress. And because of all this, we make a sure covenant and write it, and our princes and Levites and priests seal onto it. And you'll notice verse number 10, for the first 27 verses that I am not going to make an attempt to read, is the names of those people. They entered into this covenant with God. They entered into the covenant with God. And this desire, this point of decision, Lord, we're going to go through with thee. Lord, it's not going to be like our fathers. It's not going to be like the past. Lord, we are signing our names this day. We're sealing this by putting our name to this promise. And Lord, we are going to go through with thee. I wonder whenever we read down those verses, especially verse number 35. They have not served thee in their kingdom. Have you thought that's our land today? People and government who have not served for the good of the people according to the word of God. Have turned their back on God and God's standards and God's laws. Friend, we need to pray and get on our knees and ask that the Lord will intervene before our land goes any further into the sin and the mire that it is in. And in the midst of this, there's two things I want to leave with you. First of all, for God's people, it's good for us to look at where we're at today and to come before God and to make sure there's nothing between us and the Lord and that we aren't part of the problem in our land today. That I'm not part of the problem. Dear brother, dear sister, that you're not part of the problem. That our worldliness and our lack of effort and our lack of zeal, that it isn't part of the problem, but that there be nothing between us and the Lord, and we would live lives that bring glory and honour to him, and as a result, the Lord would use us to be a blessing in this land, and bring hope to this land, and shine the light of the gospel in this land, because God can only use clean vessels. And I encourage God's people to come to the prayer meeting. I encourage them to pray, to lift their land before the Lord, and to pray for God to intervene, because only the intervention of God, doesn't matter who is in government today, doesn't matter who's in government tomorrow, we need the Lord to bless us. This is a spiritual matter. We need eyes to be opened. We need the guilty to be convicted. Shame brought upon them, fear brought upon them, conviction brought upon them, that they might turn from their sin and trust in the Lord. But in the midst of this, the Lord laid a verse in my heart for a gospel meeting tonight that I want to leave before you. And it's found, it's actually just a phrase of a verse actually, found in verse number 17. And it says these words toward the end of the verse, but thou art a God ready to pardon. And that's the little phrase I want to take tonight and speak upon. Thou art a God ready to pardon. And I want us to think a little bit about that word, pardon. And consider what it means for us tonight in this meeting. And for those who are not saved, to tell you that there is a pardoning God. And he's ready to pardon tonight. And if you will come to him, he will save you and forgive your sin. Whenever we think about a theme or a word, it's always very important that we understand what the meaning of the word is. And the word pardon in the Hebrew has the meaning forgive. Forgive. So to pardon someone is to forgive them. Or it also was a thought to spare them. To spare them the punishment that they really, truly deserve. It's actually translated in a couple of different places. In Daniel chapter 9 and verse number 9, it's translated in this way. And interestingly, it is used in this prayer of Daniel, which was a prayer of intercession, pleading the sins of the land and the sins of the people, and asking the Lord to step in. And in verse number 9 of Daniel chapter 9, it says, to the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him. And there, that word forgivenesses is the exact same word in the Hebrew that's translated ready to pardon in the English in verse in Nehemiah chapter 9. I'm just going to read you one more verse. It's out of Psalm 130 and verse number 4. And it says there, but there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. The verse before says, if thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? If the Lord should highlight our sins, who will stand before him? Nobody. Nobody can stand before the Lord with unclean hands, unclean heart. But praise God, there is forgiveness with God. There's pardon with God. There's mercy with God, that he may be feared. So that's what the word means. It means to be forgiven. It means to be spared the judgment that is our due. And therefore, I have five simple thoughts I want to bring before you tonight, briefly, as we bring our time to a close. The first thought is this, the need of pardon. The need of pardon. Every single person born into this world, with the exception of the Lord Jesus Christ, stands in need of pardon. We need pardon because we're guilty before God. What am I guilty before God of? Asks the person who knows nothing of the scripture. Well, the Bible tells us we all stand guilty of breaking the law of God. In 1 John 3 verse 4, it says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And John defines it there through the Spirit of God in such a wonderful way, because sin is transgression of the law. It's a disregard for the law of God. Now, it's interesting to note that over here in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse number 13, when it talks about God giving the law, it talks about right judgments, true laws, good statutes and commandments. And I say tonight, no matter what any government decrees, if they call something that is evil and promote it to be good and say it's legal and it's to be exercised in the land, should every government in the world do that? If God says it's sin, it's still sin. If God says it's wrong, it's still wrong. And likewise, should a government turn around and say, you're not allowed to do that anymore. For example, you're not allowed to preach that Jesus saves. You're not allowed to preach that sinners can be converted. You're not allowed to preach. Friends, should every government do it? It's still right in the eyes of God. You see, God's word is true. God's laws are good. They're perfect. They're holy. And therefore, the greatest wisdom for a government is to look at the law of God and to implement it into their society. The most foolish thing a government can do is disregard the law of God, cast it aside and say, we know better than God. Why would a government do that? Because that's the natural attitude of sinners. I know better than God. That's the natural disposition of the sinner. You see, the commands that God has given us are for our good. They're for his glory. But being broken in Eden, we are all born as sinners. were born guilty of breaking the law of God by nature and by practice. Our natural desire is to do what we think is right. Our natural desire is to go our own way. We're born with that. We don't want to submit to God's will or to God's way or to God's word. And friend, even after we're saved, that is a constant battle between the old man and the new, between the old nature and the new nature. And one of the greatest preachers that ever lived upon the face of this earth, the Apostle Paul, said, "For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do." What's he saying? He's saying, I struggle. And sometimes I set out to do what is good, but I don't do it. And sometimes I do things that are wrong, even though I don't really want to do, I end up doing them. Oh, there's a battle, there's a struggle, isn't there? We need to continually ask the Lord for grace to do what is right as a Christian. Friend, you might have had a victorious day yesterday and done well for the Lord and served the Lord well, but you need God's grace today. And in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it tells us exactly what to do as the people of God. It tells us to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We need pardon because we've broken the law of God and we have offended our holy Creator. It is interesting to note that in the prayer of Nehemiah chapter 9 and the prayer of Daniel chapter 9, that they both refer to God as our Creator. You see, friend, it's good to put things into perspective and not to get carried away with ourselves and puffed up with pride. To remind ourselves that we are created beings. We're the dust of the earth. And God has created us. And God has sent His Son to save us. And God has given His word to inform us and to instruct us. But all of these things are rejected by the sinner. They live by this mantra, I don't want God. Now some sinners say, I love God or I follow God. But when you speak to them, it is not the God of Scripture. It's another God of their imagination. The God that they would like there to be. But friend, if it's not the God of Scripture that you're following, you're doing nothing better than bowing down before a statue of stone or of wood or of metal. Because there's only one God. And sadly today, with many people, and they say, well, I want life and I want health and ability and I want my family and to be safe and I want all of these things that God blesses us with and gives us. I want these things, but I don't want God. Sometimes the people, and they've no time for God, and they've no thought of God. And then the doctor calls and says, there's a problem here, and you're in trouble. And what do? They come to the preacher, get the church to pray for me. And friend, we'll pray for anybody. But the sad reality is this, the church will pray for them, and the Lord will deliver them from their sickness. And you know what will happen? They still don't want God. They still walk on in their sin, in their rebellion, in their wickedness. They don't come to church. They don't seek to repent from their sin. They just wanted the Lord to bless them in that particular way, but they didn't want God. My friend, the breaking of God's law and the offending of our holy Creator is called sin. And sin must be punished. If you turn with me to Romans chapter 2, just keep your hand in there. But in Romans chapter 2, there's a couple of verses that just highlight the seriousness of this. Because, friend, if you don't repent of your sin, this is the testimony of your life. Verse 5 of Romans 2. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deed. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honour and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, to the Jew first and also of the Gentile. And friend, if you are going to be contentious and not obey the word of God, if you're going to walk in your sin, then there's tribulation and anguish coming upon your soul. That's the word of God. And that's how the sinner faces eternity. That's why we need God's pardon. But the second thing I want to think about is the offer of pardon. The offer of pardon. Because whenever I quoted that verse a few moments ago in 1 John 3 verse 4, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is transgression of the law. That doesn't end there. Praise God, the good news comes in. And ye know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. So the offer of salvation is presented in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the sinless, perfect, holy Saviour. He was revealed, brought to this world to take away our sins. That's why Christ came. That's why Christ came, to save you from your sin. God has appointed Christ as the judge of all the earth, and he alone can pardon sin. Micah asked the question, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? He pardons our iniquity or our sin. He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. You see, dear friend, it's not the privilege of the preacher to say, you're pardoned. It's not in the remit of the preacher to say, you're forgiven. We don't have that power or that authority. All the preacher can do is to proclaim the truths of the word of God, present you with the promises of God's word and the offer of God's mercy. And it is you that must take Jesus at his word by calling upon the name of the Lord. But in thinking of this offer of pardon, we realize in this verse that God is ready to pardon. He is ready and willing to save you. He is ready to say to you this night in this meeting where you sit, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. You're my child. Your past has been washed away. You're a new creature in me. And I want to say this, pardon is offered to you tonight freely. You're not asked to come with your checkbook or your bank details or any money or any efforts on your part. Salvation, pardon is offered freely. All you do is exercise faith to take God at his word and receive it. Pardon is also offered to all. I love that word, whosoever. That excludes no one. My friend, tonight, if you come to Christ, you will be pardoned. Pardon is offered now. You see, we're in the day of grace. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. That's what the psalmist's testimony was. And friend, you can cry on the Lord tonight. You can call on the Lord and he'll save you out of your sin. But while pardon is offered freely and it's offered to all and it's offered now, pardon is offered for a season. It's only offered for a season. The matter of your sin and your soul must be settled before you die or before the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet we're also reminded that the Lord said in the book of Genesis, my spirit shall not always strive with man. A friend, what if tonight was the last offer of pardon that you received? What if tonight in this meeting was the last time a preacher were to look you in the eye and tell you that there's a Saviour who loves sinners and is ready and willing and able to pardon you? Friend, you could say no to God the final time and maybe go on through life and never have the opportunity. That's why we quote that verse of Scripture, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Don't presume on tomorrow. Friend, don't even presume on the end of the meeting coming and speaking to the minister. You can be saved in your seat tonight. You can call upon the name of the Lord. Hymn writer said, linger not until tomorrow. Thou mayest never see its light. Come at once, accept God's mercy. He is waiting. come tonight. Friend, he's waiting to save the sinner. He'll call upon him. Thirdly, we think of the way of pardon. The way of pardon. And that's found, I believe, in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse number 6. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse number 6. And we read these precious, precious words. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Not just pardon, but abundantly pardon, perfectly pardon. Friend, the work will be done completely. There'll be no fear of falling into hell, because Christ will abundantly pardon your soul. What is the way of pardon? Well, the first step is to recognize your need. You see, there are many tonight and they feel no need to be saved. They don't feel the guilt of their sin. They're on their way to a lost eternity. And if they die tonight, they'd be in hell. But it doesn't trouble them that. Such is the blindness of sin. And how blind a person is to run toward hell with a smile on their face. There must be confession of your sinfulness before God. Because, dear friend, you will acknowledge it someday. Someday you'll confess that you're a sinner. And if it's not in time before God in repentance, it will be on the day of judgment as he declares you to be a sinner. And friend, you'll not argue with God on that day. Better to acknowledge your sin today and receive pardon from it than to acknowledge it at the throne of judgment and be cast into hell. I ask you tonight before God, are you ready to meet him? If the Lord were to call you from this scene of time tonight, if Christ were to come again, are you ready to meet him? These things are important. This is the most important matter that you have to deal with in life. Are you ready to meet the Lord? Not only must you confess your need in repentance, but you must call upon the Lord for pardon. And that is simply taking him at his word, believing he will save you and asking him to save you. There is a pardon to be received. There's forgiveness to be experienced. There is joy to be had tonight. There's freedom to be had tonight in the gospel. Why? Because he is a God ready to pardon. The moment a sinner believes and trusts in his crucified God, his pardon at once he receives, redemption in full through his blood. And friend, the blood that we've been singing about in our hymns tonight is the blood of Jesus Christ that will cleanse you, and the pardon will be given to you on the basis of the blood shed at Calvary. I want to think for a few moments about the neglect of pardon. The neglect of pardon. Because there are many people today and they neglect the pardon of God. Neglect their soul salvation. They neglect the need that there is in their life at this moment. Christ has died for sinners. Christ is able to save. And yet the sinner says, I'm not interested. That's not for me. You know what they're saying? I don't want God's pardon. I'm not interested in that at all. And for a man to think he can go against the word of God and the Son of God and the pardon offered by God and somehow prosper is to be fully and completely deceived. Oh, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends are all for the ways of death. Friend, do not measure your life or your return today by what you think. Come to the word of God and see what God declares. You fit in with God. You come and you repent from who you are and what you are, that the Lord might have full control, that the Lord might save you, that the Lord might pardon you. And friend, it's the most sinful thing to neglect pardon or to reject pardon. What a day of judgment for a sinner who has sat year after year, month after month, week after week, day after day under the preaching of the word of God and yet goes out into eternity without him. Oh, how sinful to reject the mercy of God. And friend, not only is it sinful, but it's incredibly foolish. You're a call away from freedom tonight. You're a call away from true joy. You're a call away from pardon. You're a call away from peace. And yet you sit in your sin. Oh, I pray the Spirit of God will shake you tonight and show you the foolishness of missing out on the things of God. In 1830, there was a man called George Wilson. And in the United States, he was convicted of robbing the United States mail. And he was sentenced to be hanged. The president at that time, Andrew Jackson, issued a pardon for Wilson, but he refused to accept it. And the matter actually went to one of the chief justices in the land. And whenever he heard what had happened, he came to this conclusion: this man is going to have to be executed. You see, a pardon is a slip of paper, the value of which is determined by the acceptance of the person to be pardoned. If it is refused, there is no pardon, and this man must be hanged. You see, for some, the news of pardon comes too late. But for others, the pardon is not accepted. And friend, there's a full and a free pardon in the work and the blood of Jesus Christ tonight. And in this book I hold in my hands the precious pardon for sinners who will come. But friend, it's absolutely no use to you tonight if you don't take it. If you do not by faith call upon the one who is offering this pardon, say, Lord, I need to be pardoned tonight, and I receive and I accept that pardon. Friend, this is nothing for you if you will not come to him. If you're not saved tonight, it's not because there's no pardon. But sadly, there's been no desire up in your life up to this point to receive it. Oh, there's a pardon to be received. But if you're honest before God, the only thing you can say is, I had no desire. I had no desire. Finally, the absence of pardon. Friend, if you die in your sin without the pardon of the cross, the judgment of God will be executed. You see, what God says he will do, he will do. Don't think that somehow it's going to work out differently. He is a God who cannot lie. Friend, this book will not be changed. The truth of this word will never change. It is settled for eternity. Should heaven and earth pass away, God's word abideth forever. And you can be sure upon the word of God and upon the person of who God truly is, that if you die in Christ, you die well. But I'll tell you, you die without him, you'll be found in hell. And there you'll be forever without hope, without opportunity, without peace, without joy, and without God. But his wrath poured upon you. You see, there's no middle road here tonight. There's no middle place to be. You're either pardoned or you're condemned. You're bound by sin's nature or you're set free by the Savior. It's like standing in the prison house. There's two people in the prison house, the jailer and the prisoner. The prisoner is condemned. The jailer's free. Friend, we're in God's house tonight. Which one are you? Are you on your way to hell? On your way to heaven? Have you received the pardon? I'm praising God tonight that mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. Have you been to Calvary? Or tonight, can you not wait till this meeting's over to get out of here? Friend, you need to be saved. You need to call upon the name of the Lord. And it's only through faith in the blood of the cross of Calvary that you can receive your pardon. God's given you one more opportunity. One more opportunity tonight. God's given you this moment to settle the matter. And I say to you one final time, I quote the living words of Scripture. He is a God ready to pardon. Sinner, are you ready to receive it? Will you come to Calvary tonight? Will you come to Christ tonight? Will you call upon the Lord to save you? Because he's ready and willing to do it. We're going to sing our final hymn, and it's a hymn of response to the gospel. I am coming to the cross. I am poor and weak and blind. I am counting all but dross. I shall full salvation find. And dear sinner, tonight as we sing these words, make them the prayer of your heart. Come to the cross tonight. Come to Christ, our living Savior, and ask him to pardon you. Let's sing these words together. Close our eyes and bow our heads. Is there one tonight who'll come? One who'll come to the cross and say, save me, Jesus. Save me now. Too long Satan has ruled and reigned in your life. Too long sin has marked you. And too long you've been walking on the road that leads to hell. But praise God, tonight there's a Savior who'll pardon you. Blood that will cleanse you. A God who'll receive you. Friend, all you have to do is come. We sang these words tonight. I am coming. Will you? If you would like to speak to me about your soul, I'll be out at the front steps of the church, and I would love to bring you in, open the Bible, and point you to the Calvary. Point you to the Savior. A friend, where you're sitting out on that pew, do it now. Maybe you've done that. Come and let us know. Maybe online you've called on the Lord to save you. Let us know and we'll get you some literature to help you as a believer. I believe God's speaking tonight. His presence is here. Oh, sinner, don't reject him. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for a wonderful sense of thy presence tonight and the stillness in the house of God. We believe, Lord, that eternal matters are being dealt with tonight. And we pray, O God, that if there's one unsaved in our gathering, that they will come and say, save me, Jesus. Save me now. Don't allow another soul to go out into a lost eternity, to go out into this night without Christ. But Lord, bring them in, we pray. Thank you for saving me, Lord. Thank you for saving my brothers and sisters. But, O Lord, there's still room at the cross for one more. Bring them, we pray. Be glorified in the results of this meeting. For it's in Jesus' name we humbly bow and pray. Amen.